everybody, and welcome to Walk the Talk, brought to you by the Greater Omaha Business Ethics Alliance. My name is Blake Peterson. I'm your host today, and thank you so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it. My guests today are just two stellar individuals who you are not going to want to miss. They are the founders of Moxie 16, which is a boutique marketing communications firm here. It's founded in Omaha by these two wonderful women you're about to hear from. Christy Anderson and Michaela McMorris, they're the founders. They have over 20 plus years of experience in the field. Individually, they both have had several successful careers beyond marketing and have come back to it because they saw the need was so great. They had enough people coming to them in dire need of help with their communication strategy, and that is what birthed this new startup company. So really can't wait for you to hear the conversations. I hope you enjoy, and buckle up. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Blake Peterson, and my guest today, very excited to have on from Moxie 16, was Christy Anderson, who I know very well, a good friend of mine, and I'm meeting for the first time, Michaela McMorris. Thank you so much for coming
in. Thanks for having us. Thank you. This is awesome.
Yeah, very excited to have you on. We did try to record a podcast previously, Christy and I. The 2 weeks after my most recent child was born, I was a zombie. It didn't go very well. She's 6 months old now. I'm much better rested.
Yeah,
so I'm here good. To do it.
You're
do
out
it
of
again.
The fog.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit. My kids didn't sleep for a whole year, though, so I don't know what you're talking about, but yeah.
Well, my wife is a saint, and she does take the brunt of that work, I will admit. So I'm like many husbands out there who probably don't know just how little sleep she's still getting at times. Mm-hmm. But hey, I try to help out, but the breastfeeding is tough, man.
Yeah.
So I can't do what's there.
That's right.
No, it's not. But so obviously, I know Christy, we're going to have to talk about you and, you know, introduce you to listeners. But Michaela, since it's my first time meeting you, I'd love to learn more about you. So Moxie 16, for our listeners, are, you know, a boutique communications firm, right? And marketing as well. Yep. So it's a new startup, but you are not new in the industry. And you have a lot of some chops. So please, Michaela, what led you from where you were to Moxie 16?
Yeah, so I recently just left a University of Nebraska at Omaha, where I was chief communication and marketing officer there. For the last 4 years. So in December, I decided to take a leap of faith and step out with Christy, who we had actually had the conversation years ago that eventually we would go into business together. And so hence the Moxie 16. In 2016, we said this would be something we would do eventually when the time was right. And I do believe last year, probably around this time, we started having those conversations, the preliminary conversations that we're ready, I'm ready. And it actually went live in March. Mm. So March 16th, we like the number 16.
Yeah, I like it.
So yeah, we're a communication and marketing firm. We specialize in all things comms related, crisis comms, communication, internal, external, and we really want to be an extension of businesses that need our services. But this world is not new to me. I've been doing it for a lot of different clients in various ways. So before UNO, specifically focusing on the communication and marketing there, I was at KETV where Christy and I met. So I was behind the scenes money person handling marketing for a number of clients. So
Well, I bet your time at KETV, you were probably covering a lot of people who didn't handle crisis as well. Probably was a great opportunity to learn as well. I'm like, wow, they sure could do a better job from this.
Absolutely.
Different avenues. So what was your time at KETV? If we were to go back, what made you decide I want to be in essentially that was the news industry? Was that your passion from a young age? Is that kind of what your goals were?
Well, that is my background. So I studied at Nebraska Wesleyan with communication and PR. And so I knew that there was going to be something in that realm that I would be a part of. And it was really nice because my first time at KETV, it was brought to my attention as I was getting ready to leave and go to grad school on the East Coast. And I had the general manager at the time meet me at some event and said, hey, would you be interested in a job at KETV? And I was like, you know, absolutely. Absolutely. So I looked into it, really got excited about the opportunity and what that meant. And I loved it so much that I ended up staying in Nebraska and staying with KETV for about 6 years before I left and started my own business. And then it was the rest was history.
Yeah, that's great. And I read on your website, which is fantastic, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Really well done, thank I you. Have to say. It flows super well. I think if people are looking for ideas for your own website for your business, go check out the Moxie 16 website because I like it a lot. The colors and everything Wonderful. Are great. I see that, of course, your crisis management being one of the things you focus on. You talk about UNO going through COVID-19. Oh. What was the crisis like at a university with that going on? What were you managing?
So my goal was to always have it be in a situation where it never made it to mass media. So if we could be proactive in any crisis comms and not have it bubble up to a social situation, social media situation, or even the media, we have done a great job. And when it did get to that point, we had to be very steady and stern in terms of our communication style, tone, and really study what the issue was. That was always important. I mean, usually in a crisis calm situation, a lot of people are frantic. And my goal in that role is to not be in that same space. Energy attracts energy. So if I calmly come with a solution, which that was ultimately the goal, is to have a solution and be able to swiftly dim the light on any crisis comms situation is key. At a university level, it's constant with Title IX issues. The athletes have like injuries and different things that happen consistently. With social media now, a crisis can happen at 2 o'clock in the morning. It can last as long as 3 weeks, right, just depending because it's a different world than it ever has been.
Yeah.
And the good thing is a crisis isn't a crisis for very long now because right, there's always something going on, right?
Very true.
But it was a lot of it, and COVID just exacerbated that.
Rewriting
the entire way we did business as a university was very challenging for all of leadership and staff, employees and students, parents. I mean, we had to really cover every aspect of what COVID meant for a student experience while we're also trying to learn how to navigate and work in that environment. So it was a very unique and challenging time for everyone.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And with how many kids you're responsible for mm-hmm. at any given time, we don't even know what COVID was at that point. I'm sure there was a lot of late nights, early mornings talking about what ifs and getting ready for them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Trying to keep 15,000 plus students safe. Mm-hmm. Also parents, their anxiety levels are high. Like, what does this mean for my child that's staying on your campus? How are you keeping them safe? So we had to answer to those questions. But also if we had a mass breakout, how do we handle that? Our website, everything on our website had to change, the verbiage. We had to be sensitive to the marketing pieces that came out. We changed all of that because if we, it would be tone deaf if we're talking about enrollment right now when we're really trying to understand the climate that we're in when it comes to the COVID pandemic. So we revamped everything. So my team at the time was working 24/7 essentially to make sure that we combed through every aspect of the university in terms of communication, website, marketing pieces, print materials. Everything had to be redone.
I'm sure UNO has plenty of print materials you had to go through. Holy cow.
Yeah.
So then that was wonderful. Thank you, Michaela. That was a great insight. And obviously, Christy, the other half of Moxie 16. I know you well, but let's give our listeners a little background on how you ended up in this position today.
Sure. So I went to Lincoln, to the University of Nebraska, to study journalism, and that's what I thought I would do my entire career. And so I did that for about 15 years. I was a newscaster in Omaha, in Lincoln, and then in Ohio and in Michigan, and then came back to Omaha back in 2007-ish and was at Channel 7, and that's where Michaela and I first met, was when I was in the newsroom at KETV, and I did consumer investigative reporting was kind of my franchise and my thing, but I also anchored a couple of nights a week. But then when I spun out of that, I went from that to running communications for Mecca and the events venues in town, and you talk about crisis. As a reporter, you know, we're asking the questions, but it's quite a different feeling and situation when then all of a sudden you're being asked the questions. So I feel like when it comes to clients, I'm pretty well versed in what the media needs and wants, and then how to respond to it, because I've been on both sides of that coin for a lot of years. And so that skill set just, it really helps. And I think that's the one thing, you know, and I decided when I left, I've loved all the jobs I've had, actually, but my kids, who are now teenagers, they just keep growing and getting older and getting more involved in things. Yep. Gosh darn them.
Yep.
So I knew I needed to kind of do my own thing just to be able to manage my schedule. And so about six or seven years ago, I spun out on my own to do real estate full time, but also do communications. And and then, as Michaela mentioned, we kind of came back together sort of serendipitously. And both were like, okay, she was ready to kind of go out on her own. I'd already done that for a little bit, needed some support and a good partner. And so we found each other in that way. So it's been really nice. And again, we've only launched this, you know, 4 months ago, but certainly both of us have years and years of experience and have worked with clients in this capacity. But just building new clientele under the Moxie 16 brand is what we're focused on right now.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, great that you have this, not only a wealth of knowledge, but you're solving a problem. I mean, you're starting this startup right now because you have enough people calling you in needs of your services. So it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you're solving a problem with the business, which is where a lot of small business owners go wrong. Are you solving a problem? And are you going to, I think that's a great starting point for success. Mm-hmm. But that is where you're at now. You now have a startup in your hands, and you are working with, obviously, many clients who are coming your way just from the books of business you've had in the past and different relationships you've had. Where do you see Moxie going? Have you guys given thought, like, what is the dream for Moxie in the future? Do you think it's always going to be you two working in that boutique setting with a very few personal clients? Do you ever see this becoming a larger outfit in which you have more Christine and Michaela's working for you, handling crises and helping out companies?
Yeah, I definitely see this company growing. I think that's what we both want at the end of the day. The key to all of this is really doing it based on timing. So you don't want to get too big and can't manage the book of business that you have. Our goal as women who have created a great brand for ourselves individually, coming together collectively and building our Moxie 16 brand, we want to make sure that at all times, whether we're small or large, that we're meeting and exceeding expectations for all of our clients. So it's really about that balance as we grow, because I've noticed that a lot of business, working with businesses, sometimes they grow too fast and they can't meet the needs of their clients. So we have a great pulse on what's important and how meticulous it is to grow at the right rate, at the right time, with the right clients. So that's most important to us, I think, before it's just, you know, trying to be a global company. We want to make sure it's done right when we are ready to say we're a global company.
I think it's more important to us. It's part of our brand and our authenticity and just who we are as people to not sell services that people don't need. So we truly believe in not having a one-size-fits-all approach. So if a company comes to us, we really believe in digging in and then becoming more of an extension of that, their team, so that we're providing the guidance and the support that they need, and we're adding value. So that's a little bit different model than maybe some of the larger public relations or marketing agencies that you might see out there. But we were very intentional about that because it's important to us. So we might not have 100 clients. We might be just fine with 10 or 15 or 50. As Michaela mentioned, however we grow, it needs to be organic, and we need to be able to stay true to our values and our beliefs.
Absolutely. Very important. And I think that, you know, the core of all this is taking great care of the clients that you do have, because that's going to lead to more clients if you can have the capacity to take them
exactly
on.
Exactly.
And at the same time, obviously, you know, you're charging a fee for these services. And if you're becoming an extension of the team, you know, in my business, a lot of times, you know, what I reference is, you know, Well, fees are only an issue when there is an absence of value.
Right.
What value do you bring into play? Because what would those 10 companies pay to be able to have a really great crisis management team behind them and a great marketing strategy? I mean, well, how much? It's hard to put a number on that because of what it can do for your business and growth, right?
Right.
So when we think about these clients that you currently have, or maybe we are the future client, perfect client coming in, I know you said it's boutique, so everybody's a little bit different, but just for our listeners who maybe don't work with a group like yourself, what is this process like? When am I coming to you? Am I coming to you because it's like, oh no, a tweet just went out and you know what's going to happen to us? Or should I, am I coming to you and I'm saying, look, I'm ready to take my business to the next level. I think I need to grow. I don't know how to do it on this marketing side. Where do you tend to see, you know, you fit?
All of those things.
All of them.
So we have kind of a large umbrella. But again, I mean, because we've both done and held positions for so long and done a lot of different things, we have kind of expertise in a number of areas. And so it's about, it could be all of those things. But I would say, and I won't speak for Michaela, but I would say just proactive communication on all levels is always the best thing to do. So you could be a company that doesn't have a crisis right now. We would rather see you come to us before you have a crisis so that we can help you weather that storm or prevent it from happening altogether. And so I think sometimes companies, they really don't think about the services that we provide and the value that people like Michaela and I can provide until they do have an issue arise. And then sometimes, not to say it's too late, we can always help you weather the storm and build reputation management afterwards. But it's much easier if you're thinking about these things in advance and you're really monitoring how you're talking to your customer externally and then also how your communication practices are internally, because all of that spills out eventually externally too. So if you're doing a good job and you're an ethical company and you treat your people well, chances are they're going to be really good ambassadors for you, and that will help with the external communications in the future.
But even with that, to add to that, a goal of mine, and I would say both of ours, is to tell those stories too. It's not just the stories of the crisis and trying to make sure that those stay minimal, but it's the good stories that share that we can share on your behalf that help you when you are in a crisis. You have more equity over here in the good space. So when something does happen, you're not, that's not what you're known for, or it doesn't take you under because you've had this one instance.
Right, because people are able to, I know who this company is, who this brand is from my previous interactions.
Right.
There's just one touch, and you can hopefully get over the hump whenever that crisis does come.
Right.
Because, you know, so in some cases, these crises are well-deserved, right? There are certainly some companies out there who mess up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? BP oil spills, you know, all that happens, Deepwater Horizon, that moves through the movie, and all that goes down, they deserve every bit that's coming their way probably. But at the same time, what's your opinion? That might be a little bit off topic here. Maybe you're going too far down the rabbit hole, but you just kind of got me thinking when you mentioned that. Is there a time in your business that you would say, no, BP, I'm sorry, we're not going to help you from our own ethical standpoint? Or is it kind of like a lawyer relationship where everybody deserves some of this in this crisis?
No, I won't. I have a pretty strong ethical compass, and integrity is extremely important to me. So, I would not take on a client that I didn't, one, believe I could help, and two, believe would take the advice that we were going to provide them. Because the clients that we work with are also a reflection of then of us and who we are. And so it goes back to that whole not being giant and taking everything. We're boutique for that reason. We want to be able to work with people we want to work with, and we want people who work with us to want to work with us, and people who are similar with their values and their integrity as we are.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And I was just thinking, you know, I'm sure that when these crises occur, someone like UNO, that was obviously COVID completely out of their control. When you are dealing with a person who has maybe a crisis occurred, they brought it upon themselves. You are working with them because you know deep down they're a good company. Somebody made a mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, how much of that process do you think is owning up to it? being honest, being forthright, you know, because there's a fine line nowadays with what you can say and how you can be sued for it mm-hmm. any given moment. So you all obviously aren't the lawyers, but you know how to communicate with people.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if all lawyers know how to do that. I think I've met a couple who don't.
I had to work closely with the attorneys and general counsel, not only at UNO, but for the system. So the university system, we had a really close relationship with them. And a lot of times, obviously, they're speaking a different language to your point. And we would take that information and craft it in a way that was authentic and approachable from a general public standpoint, because there is a difference, right? And so the tone really, really matters and how you're saying it and who you're saying it to. Mm. So all of those things we would dig into before we crafted a message on the university or even the system's behalf. Mm. And it's such a critical piece that a lot of companies don't even know they need. And right before I left, the goal was really to make sure that we're all speaking that same tone. Because if there's one college over here speaking in a different tone and another over here, it could become disjointed. So sometimes even having someone like Christy and I just manage or monitor the tone in which you're trying to set and the brand, because a lot of what you say becomes your brand. Mm. And it all kind of intertwines. And one of the unique value propositions that I think her and I have is that communication blends into brand. Brand blends into marketing. And PR obviously is a combination of all of those. Mm-hmm. So when you have a great unit of all three of those heavy hitter pieces, you're going to have a brand that's sticky, that can withstand any type of crisis.
Right. And truthful.
Yeah. And best practice really is to have that attorney and that PR counsel at the same table together mm-hmm. for that very reason. And unfortunately, that is not something that always happens mm-hmm. or should. So I would say if companies are listening, that's something to be mindful of, because an attorney's job is a little different than ours. They're thinking of it in just in legal terms, right? But they're not thinking how that is going to be perceived to your external audience or even the employees inside mm-hmm. inside the house, right? So mm-hmm. that needs to be, those messages need to be kind of crafted together. And so it's really important to have somebody like us at the table. And all executives don't recognize that. But mm-hmm. Hopefully, I think, as Michaela mentioned earlier, we're just in a different world. With social media the way it is, 24/7 news, you just really can't sleep on being aware and alert of what's going on, not just what you're posting as a company or putting out there, but what are your employees saying, too? Because mm-hmm. they really are extensions of your brand as well.
Yeah, and that's so interesting. And as you kind of bring up with how you work with the whole team, I mean, it sounds really similar in what I do with wealth management. I need to, the CPA has a job, the attorney has a job. Mm-hmm. It's so much better when we're all in one room.
Absolutely.
It can make it happen. Because
and hearing
then we
the same thing.
Yeah, we can all get on the same page. And so you all are trying to do that same thing mm-hmm. in these cases. And when you join up with a business, so you have the lawyers at the table, the C-suite, the executives, you've spoken with all them, and then we talk about the employees. What do you do to go and learn about these employees? What is your process in coming in and finding out what that internal dialogue and essentially what their culture is? Right. How do you do that?
That's one thing that we're getting ready to do for a client right now is really come in and assess, because part of telling a great story is understanding the culture. Mm-hmm. And how do you do that? The best way is to understand the team, mm-hmm. the employees, essentially. Those are the ones that probably have the most knowledge that typically don't get the opportunity to speak up and speak out. And so our goal is also to be a voice for them as well, and have them have a brand that they're excited to also then go out and share on the company's behalf. Yeah. So right now, like I said, we are doing that for a specific client where we'll go in and assess the team, how they operate, what their gaps are, what their needs are, and then come up with a strategy that's going to help them from a communication and brand standpoint.
And it really goes back to that, what we said, it's just not a one-size-fits-all approach. Mm-hmm. Mm. Every company is different. So if we went in to your company, We would want to get to know everyone on your team and sit with them and talk to them about the things that are good, the pain points, all of those things, almost from a business consultation type of interview, if you will.
Yeah.
But it really helps us back into what the gaps are and what the best communication strategy that we can help put forth for your business, your individual business, because everyone is different. Every culture is different. And especially now, I mean, as you have people who are still trying to get people back to the office and really make sure they're building a culture where people want to come back and want to be engaged, and then that they can retain who they have, and then they can hire who they don't, you know. So companies in general it's top of mind for them right now. So I feel like it's one thing that I think, you know, that you don't might not think about all the time, having a communication strategy for your company, but it really is important. And it's not just about the external. It's what we're talking about, the internal stuff too.
Yeah. And it's what I see a lot, or at least what I've experienced is the answer to the communications. We need to hire somebody for communications. What do? We just need to go and get one of these young kids that just graduated out of college who knows how to post on Instagram.
Right.
We got to go do that. That's where everything is. We have to do it right now. And I see them, not that those kids don't deserve that opportunity. Absolutely give these people an opportunity. However, you know, instead of working with a moxie, you're bringing on that employee who does not have the same, you know, 20 plus years of experience in dealing with this like you both do. And if I think as a company owner, it's like, where is my money better spent? Because I probably can't afford to bring on a Michaela or Christy full time to do this. Not anymore. Maybe I could have back when you guys were just coming out of college, right? So that's the thing where the cost and reward of working with a boutique shop that can do specifically what you need and know how to navigate these different things that might come up. I mean, it seems almost like to me, and I may be doing too much of a selling point for you guys right now, but it just seems to make a lot of sense to work with an outside company for something like this, so then that person is also removed from the equation and can see things clearly.
Yeah, right. And I think what we love doing actually is coming alongside that young person who is in that role for that company and giving them guidance. I mean, you know, I enjoy that type of mentorship, and I think Michaela does too. Yeah. And we've both held roles where that's been important. And so even if you have that young person that is handling your communications and your social media platforms and all of those things, there might be some value in bringing in an outside agency like us to come in and just evaluate how they're doing and give them some support, that person some support, and just kind of really lean into them and breathe some knowledge into them. And then we go away and, you know, hopefully they're better for it and they can always come back and ask us advice when they need to. So that is something I think, I mean, it fills my cup when I'm able to do that.
Absolutely.
With young people.
Yeah, 80% of my team at UNO was new to the business. This was their first job out of college.
Great.
And so it was rewarding to help those individuals, whether it's at the university or somewhere else, make a name for themselves, but also teach them those little nuggets of information along the way. A lot of times, you know, at that age, you're thinking of the here and now. And with communication, you have to also be looking at what's on the horizon. So while you're communicating out right now for this very specific purpose, there are ways to plant seeds that are going to help the next communication piece. And so having them think outside of just the here and now is critical as well. That's not something you learn in college, right? You know,
yeah,
so
right.
Those are the little things that I've learned as I've stumbled and picked myself up and figured it out. But it's always great when you can have that person that's leaning over you, or a company that's leaning over you as an extension of your team, to help you navigate some of those newcomers that are hungry for their careers to launch and be really good at it. We can help them get there faster.
That's wonderful, and I kind of see it as an opportunity. You bring in people to audit your books and records, obviously, to make sure that you're in a good financial position, nothing weird is going on, and that you're not going to have the IRS knocking on your door,
exactly.
Right? Why wouldn't you want to audit your communications department? Why wouldn't you want to bring some people in, tell us how are we doing? Or if you aren't doing as well as you think you should be, maybe instead of we need to fire this person and bring someone else in, you all could come in and essentially look at how they are navigating their, what they are doing for their communications and what you would recommend, and then kind of leave them, hey, if you don't want us to take it over, there you are. Here's the road, the blueprint for you.
Absolutely.
That's something you would, yeah. So it seems like you can kind of, if somebody has anything with communications, marketing, crisis or something, it's worth reaching out because as a boutique shop, you could do anything, right?
Right.
As long as it fits.
And well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and as an example of that, a junior employee is going to feel very uncomfortable coming to a senior leader and saying, hey, this doesn't sound right. And so they're probably not going to say anything. They're just going to go along with whatever someone told them to do because they want to keep a job, right? So having those difficult conversations a lot of times was what Christy and I had to do with senior leaders because a lot of times we were doing the writing for them. And so going in and saying, hey, this isn't probably the best choice of words. Can we massage it a little bit and make sure that it has a well-rounded meaning for the end user is critical for your personal brand, right? And so those are the little things that I don't know if a junior or a newbie coming into the industry would catch or feel comfortable expressing.
Right.
And so many times what we end up doing, I mean, we have clients that it's very project-based, right? So we have, they've got some announcement that they need to make or they have a crisis and we need to manage that. But for so, but for many clients, we are just really, we're coming in on that 40,000-foot view and really looking down and we can clearly assess some of those gaps. It's just easier for us because we're not doing the day-to-day at that company. So, and they don't have time to do that. You know, they're in the weeds. So, I mean, so for somebody like us to come out and say, okay, tell us everything that you're doing, you're working on, we can more clearly see the path that they should probably take because we're not in, like I said, in the weeds.
Right. Yeah, you're not in it and you can get out of that tunnel vision.
Right.
I mean, what I can see, and I wonder, I guess the question for you all, how often do you come into a company, they say, we need some help with our marketing communications, and you find out, well, what have you been doing? Like, well, we've been making sure to post on our social medias once a day. And people think that that's
marketing,
the answer, right? I think that's it is. So is that a common thing that you see? And for these people who might be thinking that is the answer, why is that not the answer these days? How has that evolved?
Well, I would say that the world in which we live in is very fragmented, and there you can see a little bit of success with doing social media. I think that that is a strong platform. It's a very powerful platform, but if not done correctly, it could be harmful. And if you're only putting your eggs in one basket, that could also be very harmful. A lot of people think that just social media is my marketing, and that cannot, it's furthest from the truth in terms of what marketing really is. And it's to build longevity in your brand and grow, essentially, right? And so a lot of companies will come to us when they're at the level in which they're like, we've seen some success, but we're ready to go to the next level. And what does that look like? They've gotten someone on staff that does their social media posts. They're doing a little bit of maybe radio or newspaper ads and different publications and things like that. But when they're looking for a large strategy and they're like, hey, we're ready to open up two more locations, we're looking at branching out to Kansas City and all and regionally, that's when you want to bring in a firm because you're diversifying your portfolio. And there's a lot of intricate details that go into that, from negotiations to reading the reports that they provide you with, looking at the data and understanding the data to know when you need to pivot, and when your message becomes stale. All of those things are things that a business typically doesn't realize they need. They know they want it, but they don't know that it's definitely a need, especially with all the noise out here. There's so much advertising, and our attention span has gotten shorter, where at one point it took 15 seconds to grab someone's attention. Now it's 7.
Wow.
So if you don't grab someone's attention in 7 seconds, they're out of there.
Yeah.
And so it's all those little things that we study regularly for our clients where they don't have to worry about those things.
Right. Because you already have that knowledge in place. It's just, it is interesting because of the introduction of social media, obviously proved to be so powerful for so many businesses. But a lot of these people who are trying to harness that power now also don't understand that all the algorithms have evolved a long way from the first time Facebook came out, right? And a lot of the times your quality content is going to be so much more important than quantity.
Absolutely.
And so it seems like that's in everything in marketing then.
And to your point with algorithms, you're at the mercy of Facebook, social, all the social media channels, and when they decide they're going to change their algorithms. What worked last year is not what's working now. So if you're not constantly privy to those changes, you could be, your brand and your engagement can be diminishing, and you wouldn't even know it because you haven't studied the algorithms and the changes and the dynamics of those.
Right.
And they can do that. You're at their mercy.
Yeah. But you all go above that, right? So social media is a piece of what you all
sure.
do.
It's an important piece.
Yeah.
We would always want to make sure that our clients are, you know, where are you reaching your people? Mm. What's your end goal and who's your audience and how are you reaching them? So we're going to definitely look at social. It's a powerful tool, but it's not the only tool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's much deeper than that.
Absolutely. And you both have obviously so much experience in the field. How have you seen it evolve over time, and not just in social media, but maybe marketing communications in general? And has it just gone into overdrive since 2020 and since COVID has passed us? Have you seen a shift that is different from anything that you'd seen prior?
I think there's more of an opportunity for a crisis today than there ever was. Mm. People are really emboldened on social and on other places to just say whatever they want to without any repercussions or feelings of, you know, wanting to hurt somebody's feelings. I just think we're in a different place. Mm-hmm. You said we're in a fragmented world. We really are. And so the opportunity for something to kind of go off the tracks is greater than it has been in the past. And so you really have to be mindful about what you are putting out there, because there are sensitivities that maybe you wouldn't have thought about before that have been heightened just by just how people in general feel today and how divided some things are. And so you may, as a company, make a statement on Twitter that you would never perceive to be political, but somebody took it that way. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you've got a crisis mm-hmm. on your hands. And so it's, to me, I think what we do and the eyes that we put on things and how we see things, it's a pretty important skill in today's world.
Yeah, I believe that. And you're so right. You don't know where this might come from, where the crisis might occur. I'm trying to think, of course, I don't know the name of the company, but there was I'm pretty sure they're an office furniture manufacturer. And the CEO got some hot water recently because she was on a Zoom. They just canceled all the bonuses for everybody in the company, and people were asking about why they canceled them. We're going to bring it back. And her idea of giving them an emboldened statement was kind of saying, we got to get out there and sell some more stuff. So in her mind, maybe what she's saying is she's trying to embolden everybody to say, mm-hmm. get out there. We got to sell more. We got to meet these metrics, take care of our clients. That's how we're going to grow this company. But it sounded awful. Mm-hmm. It didn't sound like
it
that.
It didn't come out the way she thought it was going to.
Not in a Zoom call.
Yeah,
no,
right.
You can't look anyone in the eye.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry, but you're the CEO. I know that your compensation is very structured differently as a CEO, but
sure.
This person had gotten a few million dollars in what would be considered bonus compensation for hitting metrics.
Mm-hmm.
So as an employee, you're like, wow, well, your millions of dollars obviously are fine, but my couple thousand are gone away. So are you coming in and working with a CEO in this case as well to try to help them with how they communicate even internally? Is that ever something that you do?
We can.
And we've done it. I mean, one of the things, because CEOs are so busy and they're running everywhere and they're in things that you wouldn't think that they're involved in. And so sometimes they're coming from hot from one meeting to the next,
right.
And they have to have someone who is almost like, not a whisper, but somebody who's writing their talking points, coming in with a clear mind and vision, but understands how they operate and has studied them, right. To give them the playbook when they're out talking to employees or even external media. Helping them with those type of things is so crucial, especially when you're running in and out of meetings. And some things, to your point, if it's perceived a certain way, it probably wasn't her intention.
Right.
But because I don't know what her day was like, but if it's anything like the CEOs that I've worked with in the past, they're in back-to-back meetings. They're tired, probably. They're full of coffee,
yeah.
And they've got a lot of things swirling around in their brain. So if you have that group like a Christy and I who can help a CEO or a senior leadership with those type of talking points, it just makes their life easier. And that's where we come in and bring value.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe if any people listening to this are struggling with how am I going to communicate? And not a great communicator, but perhaps you are a good leader. Perhaps you are good at business. You had a great idea. Working with a team like Moxie goes beyond just marketing to the public,
mm-hmm.
right? You can take it to a point where we will help you get prepared for these quarterly meetings or whatever and how we present it. I mean, I can only imagine a public company where every quarter you have to hop on a call and tell everybody how you're doing and update it. I'm sure there's some people who should assuage some verbiage in there and make it nice and a little more comfortable for your shareholders to hear.
Put a little bow on it.
It's softening things.
Yeah.
And again, but at the end of the day, we're only as good as a client who really believes that is something that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I mean, it all goes back to culture, right? So, we're probably not going to get a call from maybe a CEO that doesn't really want to make any changes or speak to their people in a respectful manner, right? So
right.
That might not be the client for us either. So you really, I think we want to work with people who that really do see the value in building a good culture and speaking to people in a respectful and kind of a way and building a real true team. I mean, I think we can help when it comes to that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Christy, do I remember correctly that you did some marketing for a senator at one point?
So between my news career and my career over running communications for some of our event venues in town, I was the Nebraska press secretary for United States Senator Mike Johanns.
That's
cool.
So
I had known him because I had covered him when he was a governor for the state of Nebraska, just a swell guy, you know, a really nice guy. But federal politics is an interesting world. And I was lucky, I guess, and I had little kids, so I was able to stay stateside. I would travel to Washington, but I got to live here in Nebraska. And so I would help the senator engage with constituents across the state when he was back, mostly for, you know, August recess or that time frame, where we would travel the state and do community coffees in different communities. I loved that part of the job. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
I've held a few different positions, and that was one of them, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah. What do you think of one, you know, big key that you took away from doing communications on the political side?
Mm-hmm.
What is a good lesson that you learned there? Maybe it's something you don't want to do or something you learned, wow, we better do that with every person we work with.
Well, the one thing that Mike would tell us all every single day was, if you don't want to read it in the New York Times tomorrow, don't say it, don't do it.
Oh, wow. That's
so that's
good.
Kind of a lesson.
Smart.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even when you think you're in a quiet, private place, we know there's cameras and phones and things everywhere now. And these are the lessons we tell our kids.
Yeah.
You know, we've got teenage kids. And so there's always an example. You know, I'm like, guys, don't say it. Don't do it. Don't record it and don't share it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Because it stays with you.
Yeah.
It does. And the context thing, context has never been in a worse position.
Oh,
right. I mean, now with deep fakes, you can, you know, now that we have enough podcasts out there, I mean, you could potentially put something together with just our voices, right? And have
us
saying things you never did say. So are you all doing anything regarding AI? Obviously, this is a very new thing. Are you kind of being proactive, reactive to it? What's going on in your world?
We were just talking about this
yesterday. Yeah. I think we're all... us and everybody else is really just kind of watching, learning. But I think if you're not up to speed on it, or if you don't embrace it in some way, we're going to get left behind. I think we have to. It is here.
Yeah.
As a journalist by trade, it does make me cringe that people are writing papers and speeches and communication through ChatGPT or whatever other method.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, to me, good writing is a skill that we should all have. But unfortunately, it's just not as, I mean, I guess people don't look at it that way maybe anymore, but I think they should.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that does worry me a little bit that already we are so, with texting and the way we communicate, we're so fragmented already, and we're not, that human connection has already really been lost.
Yeah.
To me, I worry that this could make it be lost more.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see what happens with it. There's probably some really great things that AI can bring out and time-saving things. But again, I think you're going to still need people like us to look at copy and make sure that the robot did it right. I don't know. Yeah.
Right.
And how do you personalize that conversation or that communication if... Yeah, I mean, if everybody's using the same AI,
right?
At some point, you're going to be like, hey, this CEO said the same thing as this CEO in UK and America. Like, what's going on here? You know, so you kind of, you lose that personal touch, which I think that's what people, when we talk about authentic and authenticity, and those are the buzzwords right now, this is exactly what we're wanting to stay away from.
Right.
And how do you monitor that? How do you know that that same AI group or app isn't spitting that out to 1,000 other folks at the very same time?
Right. No, it's very valid points. And we'll also state that if you are using the words that ChatGPT are creating, there is plagiarism involved because all it is doing is pulling from articles like you all wrote when you were a journalist, right? So it's scary. A little bit of a fine line there. It would be interesting to see how the regulation comes down on it and see what goes from there. But a lot of money to be made, a lot of time to be saved, and a lot of great ethical questions, I think, to be had.
That's right.
For that introduction. We talk about, obviously, the having your brand, being authentic, a lot of the buzzwords like you just mentioned. What do you think are some maybe tools that you all have used while creating your personal brand to make sure that you could stay authentic and make sure people know who you are? When you're developing these, which you've done for so long, what do you think are some of the most important pieces that helped you create an authentic and real brand, true to yourself?
That's a great question.
I know. I'm like, wow.
And I don't, you know, I think it's staying true to who you are. I've done a few different things. And so I've thrown that question back at myself several times over the last several years. Like, what is my brand? Because in addition to doing communications, I also do real estate. And, you know, but I think the underlying thing in both of those worlds, and for me, just in general, with whatever project I'm working on at the moment, it is about relationships and making sure that I'm always kind of looking out for whomever my client is. That's really important to me. Like, I'm in their corner, building relationships, but not just building them, but keeping them long term. And so I think that whatever I'm putting out there on my own pages, I hope that's kind of where my brain is behind the scenes.
Right.
And so hopefully that leads to what I put out there, and then that's consistent. So I don't know that I really answered your question, but it is something that I think about a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think so. I mean, I think that from what you just said, if I could sum it up, would be if you're trying to, you have your client, an ideal client in mind. You never know who might come along, but you understand who buys commercial real estate and who doesn't, right? So you wouldn't want to be putting something out there that you think would be offensive or questionable to those individuals, right? Even if it is, like, goodness gracious, the personal belief that you will, you know, die on the cross for, you still don't want to be putting yourself out there when business is at stake and when it has nothing to do with what you're doing.
Right. You have to be very mindful of every single word and every post and even something that you share. I mean, you just have to be. And we consult people on it, so we have to actually be a little bit more careful.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's, what about you, Michaela? Anything you think you would add to that?
You know, I just want, for my personal brand, it's my word is everything. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to get it done.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up with any type of silver spoon, fork, or knife. And so for me, my brand is all I have. So I want people, if I were to leave this earth today, I would want people to say that they trusted me. They respected me for the fact that I was a firm believer in showing up and being present for them in the moment, whether that's a client, a family member, a friend. And so that's always been my motto. And I think one of the things that gravitated me towards Christy is that I feel like she has that same approach to life. Right. And raising kids and being a woman who is a boss chick, yeah. Hence the moxie.
Absolutely.
And I think that speaks volumes to who we are as individuals, but also as Moxie 16.
I think that makes a ton of sense, and it was very eloquent as well. I mean, if it's your brand and your business, you don't always have to be working on the sale, right, mm-hmm. in your communication. It's not always about the sale. A piece of it is just letting people know who you are, because you want to do business with people you like.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Right.
And the sale will come.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, you know, we all want to be hit home runs and slam dunks every day, right, mm-hmm. in sales and in business. But you got to lay the foundation and the groundwork. And people will see right through someone who is not authentic. And, you know, so I think we both believe at our core and just who we are and how we were raised. You treat people right, and then good things happen. And and we're just really in on that, you know. I mean, it goes back to we might not want everyone as a client. We want to make sure that we work for people who also have good ethics and values and integrity.
And it's going to work well with you, because they could spend $1 million with Moxie, but if they don't buy into it, like to your point, mm-hmm. and they don't actually do the things that you're trying to tell them to do, it's what is it? At the end of the day,
right.
You made money, but your impact is almost nothing, right?
Yeah, and I don't like that. You know, I mean, I want to be able
to be around for a long time either.
Right. Right.
And we're moms.
Yeah,
we've got little eyes on us all the time, so we want to set good examples for our kids.
Absolutely,
absolutely. Well, that's wonderful, and I think we're bumping up against the time limit. I can't think of a better way to end it than with that last discussion. Thank you both so much for coming on today. I really enjoyed meeting you, Michaela, and obviously, Christy, it's always great talking to you. So it's a pleasure. And everybody, Moxie 16, we're going to have the website and everything in the information to this podcast. Make sure you go there, reach out to them. And you know what? Even if you're not sure if it's time to work with someone like Moxie, I'll bet you they won't charge you to have a conversation. So why don't you do that? Give them a call, learn about what they do, and see if maybe they'd be a good fit for you, because goodness, as I talk with you, it makes more and more sense why you'd want an outside source doing this. Both of your experience is just incredible. And the fact that you're able to allow your personal values of doing good work for good people, drive Moxie, I can't think of a better foundation for a startup. It's great.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
And that concludes our conversation with the wonderful, wonderful founders of Moxie 16, Christy Anderson and Michaela McMorris. If you're having trouble with your marketing strategy, if you want to go ahead and take the next level up, reach out to them, because I'll tell you what, just being in the room with them for the past hour has been invigorating. I'm pumped up. I feel like they can do a great job for anybody that they come in contact with. And obviously, you like doing business with people that you like, I think you're going to like them. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you like the podcast, please do like, comment, share it, subscribe, all the things that you do. Our growth has come from you all naturally. I appreciate every single one of you who shares this podcast. And thank you so much for joining us, and can't wait to have you here next time.